Thanks, Marie Charlotte. It's a great delight to be back up with you again. Both Elaine and I are really blessed to be up with all of you guys, our friends and family at Gabriola here, and especially to share the Word of God. And it's an exciting time in the church. Amen? It's an exciting time to be with the Lord. And, last week, as I was listening to Marie Charlotte, I thought, wow, she's sharing about the Spirit speaking to his churches. And I felt that the Holy Spirit wanted me to carry on with this about not only talking to God, but hearing from God. Because, it's a wonderful privilege. And as we understand how much grace we have in doing that. So I wonder if you'd join me in a prayer. Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you would bless this teaching. Lord, that you would open our eyes and heart to understand your word to us. And Lord, that you would quicken your word, that it become living and dynamic in our hearts and minds. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When Marie Charlotte was sharing about from the book of Revelations, every one of those messages to the churches ends pretty well with, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to his church." And he's not just talking about these two knobs on the side of our head, our ears. Amen? He's talking about something, what the Spirit is saying to us. And this is very important. We have to realize that God is talking about a communication from him to us via his Spirit. And, right at the beginning when God created us, mankind, he desired to commune with them. And we read in the back in the book of Genesis how wonderful it was that when he created that beautiful garden called Eden, that we would walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And he talked to them. And they'd talk back to him. And what a wonderful idyllic setting, as we heard our sister talking about going back into that garden. But what a special place that the God of all creation, the Big Bang, all the universe, everything that was created was so loving that he cared to walk with humanity and talk as a friend. But then we know what happened. There was a terrible blight came in as Adam and Eve rebelled against God. And a barrier came down because man brought upon himself that sinful nature. And this communication link that was so beautiful between man and God got broken because of it. And the first thing that happened when God went back into the garden to talk with them, they didn't want to talk to him. You ever notice that when you sin, you don't want to talk to the person? You probably go back to when your parents, you did something wrong. And God's saying, "Where are you? Where are you?" And Adam owned up and he said, "Well, we hid because we were naked. We were afraid." But what happened was a barrier came down separating the ability to commune freely with God, because our holy God could not just come into the presence of unholy man with a sinful nature. And we know that that brought a brokenness and a curse. But God yearned to have the time again where he could talk and commune with us freely. And what he did was he ordained special people. And he gave them his anointing of his Holy Spirit so that they could speak with him. And, our brother was talking about Mount Sinai. And when the Israelites came through the desert to Mount Sinai, what happened was the people were told they couldn't come up the mountain to talk with God. And it says this in Exodus 20. "And when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear and they stayed at a distance and said to Moses, 'Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die.' But for Moses, who was ordained by God and anointed by God, it says this, also in Exodus 33, "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend." And so God opened up a way where he could speak, but only under special conditions. Because he said, I want to go with my people. I'm going to come. And he said, Moses, you got to build this tent, this tabernacle. And I want you to put a place in the tent, a very special place called the Holy of Holies. And he said, in that place, I'm going to meet with you in a cloud above the wings of the cherubim, and I'm going to speak to you. But don't think that anyone can come in there. I want you to put a big barrier between the holy place and the most holy place. But Moses, you can come in and I can speak to you. But then God brought it so and ordained that there would be a high priest of Israel. But once again, he said this, and this is Leviticus 16. The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place, behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die because I appear in the cloud above the atonement cover. So even Aaron, as the high priest of Israel, could only come in to talk with God if he made special preparations, ritualistic sacrifices, and special things that he had to do. And then only one day a year in Yom Kippur could he go through the curtain and he could talk with God. And that's the way it was through century after century, that the people didn't know if God would even listen to their prayers because of their sin condition. Like Isaiah said, Isaiah 1, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I'll hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. And so the people were not only fearful in talking with God, they didn't know if he would even listen to their prayers. And even a mighty man like Isaiah, when he was brought up in the heavenly places, high and lifted up, and he saw God on his throne, and he heard the seraphs flying around saying, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He was terrified. He said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And so we saw that only these special people ordained by the Holy Spirit of God could speak with God. Moses and Aaron, the prophets, all the prophets, some of the kings, King Saul, King David, they could talk. But most of them couldn't. But God yearned for a time and prophesied that time was going to come when everyone would be anointed by the Spirit of God. Amen? Not just specially selected people, but everyone. And he said through the prophet Joel, he said, and afterwards I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even on my servant, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. Amen? So a time God was proclaiming, everyone's going to be able to speak with me. Not just with some special ritual and not with some very special anointing, but I'm going to anoint every one of my people who believe, and I'm going to anoint them, and they're going to be able to commune with me together as friends. And of course, we know that the cross at Calvary, Jesus did that. And he broke the barrier. And the curtain that was separating us from going into the Holy of Holies to commune and talk with God was ripped. And it says when he died, it was ripped from the top to the bottom. And no longer was there any barrier to come in and commune with God. And it was very special that Jesus' sacrifice not only paid the price for our sins, but he opened a way for us to again commune with him and talk with him continually. As friends, amen? That's very special. And this is what the Lord said. This is what Apostle John said, 1 John 5. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Never again will we be afraid that God wouldn't hear our prayers like the old Israelites. Never again. Every prayer that we pray is heard by the Lord. Amen? Every prayer. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to stand at the base of the mountain, terrified, and get a mediator to pray for us. We can talk directly. And it says this, in John's Gospel, that Jesus said this, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He'll only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And he'll bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." And so Jesus is saying, I'm going to send the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit, and all of you who believe in me will receive the Holy Spirit and get an anointing. You will receive the Holy Spirit, and you'll be able to speak with me. And it says this in John's first letter, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." And farther in this, 1 John 2, "And as for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as is taught you, remain in him." The anointing you have, the Holy Spirit of God, is with you always, right to the end of the age. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? That's good news. He's with us. And Jesus now said, now, just before he went to the cross, he said this to us. John 16, "In that day you'll no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you anything you ask in my name." Amen? "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." And further in that chapter, he said, "In that day you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I'll ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." And so we have this wonderful ability to commune with God and to talk with him and speak into the glory cloud, just as the high priest Aaron did in the Holy of Holy Places. And we can speak. And what a privilege that is, because we have anointing from the Holy Spirit of God to be able to commune with God. So each of us can hear what God is saying to us because it's by his Spirit. Amen? So I think we should all repeat that. I am anointed by God to hear and talk to him. Hallelujah. Well, I just wanted to get that straight, because some of you may feel, well, maybe I'm not too sure God wants to speak to me. I'm afraid. I want you to realize he does want to speak to you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how long you've been in church, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are or what nationality you are. That doesn't matter at all. You're a son or daughter, and he wants to speak to you. But you know, I felt the Lord wanted me to share with you, how do you hear back from him? We've heard these lovely prayers, and we give prayers, and we speak, but how do we actually hear back what he's saying to us? And that may be something that we're not as sure of, because we can certainly verbalize prayers, which are a beautiful thing, our communication to God, but how about how he brings it back? And I want to direct you to a passage of truth that God gave us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. And it says, "However it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those that love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit." And God is saying, listen, the information is not going to come in the usual way from the outside in, through your senses, through your eyes, through your ears, through your touch. It's going to come through a different process called revelation. I'm going to reveal it to you by my Spirit. And he goes on further in that chapter. "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among the men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him?" By the way, that reminds you, you can't say, "I know what you're thinking." It says, in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And it goes on further, the man without the Spirit cannot understand the things of God. So there's something very important here, dear friends, and that's saying the Lord has given us the ability to understand what he is telling us. And it's going to be through revelation. Now, it's very interesting. There's a word in our dictionary which is the same as revelation, or means the same. It's called intuition. And intuition means where the truth is revealed instantly without deduction or reasoning. Okay? I'm going to repeat that. The act by which the mind perceives the truth of things without reasoning or deduction. You know it intuitively. You gals are blessed many times we talk about women's intuition. Amen? You have it. A lot of times you're using that. But in a simple way, it's saying you know and you're knower. You know deep inside of you what it is, but you don't know why you know. You just have a feeling deep inside, yes, that's right. And it's something that's revealed inside of you instantly to your mind because it's not coming from outside to your mind, you see? You get an understanding, you get an intuitive. We also call it a gut feeling. You just get something inside of you, you say, well, that's it. And this is really the voice of the Lord. Amen? It's the voice of the Lord. It says, it's an unuttered or soundless voice. It's a still, small voice. You remember when Elisha was in a cave and feeling very depressed? And it says, a mighty wind came by, but God wasn't in the wind. And a fire came by, but he wasn't in the fire. And an earthquake came, but he wasn't in that. And then there was a gentle whisper. When you hear God intuitively through revelation, it's quiet. And if your mind's too busy, you can override it. Amen? You've got to learn to quiet your mind and hear the still, small voice in your spirit. And it's not part of our emotions or senses. In fact, you may find it even opposes your mind. Now, one thing you might think of that is part of it is it sometimes given as God, your conscience. And that's a call to God's holiness. And your conscience may say it's wrong to not report that on your income tax. And your mind says, oh, why? Trudeau doesn't need it. And you're battling with something inside of you and your mind. Now, there's another good thing about intuitive or the revelations of God. They're not related to intelligence. I'm sure that'll excite several of you. And it's really something. It doesn't come from your training, your understanding. It's a gift of grace. And therefore, you can't earn it. And you can't, you can, as we're doing here, learn to understand, but it comes to us. And as we listen to that still small voice, then we start being moved by the Spirit. And we keep in step with the Spirit. But the Lord will never override our will. Amen? He doesn't make us do what we're not ready to do. He never will do that. And how does this revelation, how does this intuitive understanding come? Sometimes it comes in the night through dreams. Amen? He'll give you the messages through dreams. And it'll be an imagery. And you can look and you can read about Daniel. And you can read about Joseph. How God gave a message through the dreams intuitively. They received it. Where do dreams come from? Well, they can come from God, but they can come from the enemy. And they also can come from our flesh. So we have to discern. I'm going to be sharing about that. They can come through visions. So as you wait on the Lord, you can get an impression in your mind about something. You might say it's daydreaming. Now, some people daydream more than others, but you can, and you're in prayer, and you're waiting on the Lord, and suddenly an impression will start coming. And that's a vision that you'll be getting. Many times it comes through Scripture, because God's Word is living and active. And suddenly the Word of God will become alive to you. And it says faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes through the Word of God. So it's not necessarily the Word of God, but the message for you that comes through the Word of God. Amen? You may be here today and you hear the Scriptures, and you hear it through worship, but you may be getting a message for you. And that message becomes a fire inside of you. You begin to hear it and you say, yes, Lord, you're speaking to me. See how the Lord's speaking? He may also speak through physical phenomena which give you a message. You may go and see a couple of eagles flying by, and it may be a message for you of encouragement that the Lord is with you. Having eyes to see and ears to hear spiritually, you see, that's what the Lord wants. To have the understanding of what he's saying to his church in that way. And that, dear friends, we all have this ability, but we're not aware of it sometimes when God's speaking to us. And we've got to nurture that and wait on the Lord and let him guide us in that. And you know, there's another special thing, that not only are we given the Holy Spirit, but we're given gifts by the Holy Spirit. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12. And if you look at those gifts, you'll find most of them relate to communication. They relate to the communication from God. Knowledge, not our knowledge, God's knowledge. Wisdom, not our wisdom, God's wisdom. Prophecy, yes, understanding what he wants us to do. Faith, to understand and believe and stand on the word. Tongues, these are all communication channels. Amen, when you think of it. So God wants to give us this ability to not only talk to him, but to hear from him and to respond to him. And I just want to look at a couple of these, because they're wonderful gifts. And one's the gift of prophecy. And then the gift of prophecy is just like the prophet Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 1. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. And you begin to say things about that have been revealed to you by God, and they're not coming from your mind. So do you see this? And those prophetic words are powerful, because God's imparted his words to you for the church. And you know, sometimes you get wonderful prophecies through children. They'll come up. You see, it's not related to maturity or education or age. God will use, even chose a donkey. But basically, when you're given those prophetic words, something happens, and Jeremiah found that out, and he said this in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, but if I say I'll not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is like in my heart, like fire, a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary holding in, indeed I cannot. In fact, what he found was when the word of God comes to you for the church, you will have a stirring up to have to share it to the elders and to the fellowship. And that's the stirring up from the inside. And all of this is coming from the inside out, from the Spirit of God inside of us, because he's united with our spirit. And as it comes, it edifies the church. Prophetic words are always to edify. Amen? They're not to create condemnation and criticism. And if that's the type of prophetic word, it's not coming from the Lord, because he never counters his word. The other area I want to talk about, these in the gifts, is the gift of tongues. Because tongues is a prayer language. It's a way of talking to God in a language that's never profaned God. Indeed, you don't even know what it means. Now, it's true there are tongues that are of the languages of the earth that happened at Pentecost. But also you'll find, if you're willing to enter into it, that tongues are a lovely way of lubricating the other gifts. Not the most important gift. You can use it if you want or not. But it says this in Romans 8, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And when you pray in the Spirit, it's in the will of God, but you don't know what you're praying for. So it's something that you'll find if you're willing to do it, and don't think that God's going to move your vocal cords, but he will form the words that come out. So that's an aspect that you can enter into if you wish or not, as you wish. But it's not the mark of anything super special. It's a gift of grace, and you can't earn it. And now, when we get these messages from God, and you know, you'll reflect on the different ways you're hearing, I want to give you 5 points to test that they are from God, because so many Christians have been misled by thinking they've heard from God, only to find out later that they hadn't heard from God. Amen? So here are going to be 5 things. You can take a note on these if you want. I found that they've been good in our life, Elaine and I, through the years. And the first one is starts with this intuitive revelation, your gut feeling. It starts there. You get something inside of you that says, I should be doing such and such. Perhaps you get a feeling inside, maybe it's time to sell the house. You don't know where that came from, but it's just come to you. Maybe it's time I quit my job. It's a gut feeling. It's an intuitive. I'm not just looking at you, Chris. But you get something inside of you, it starts niggling at you, you start thinking. The thing to look at, what are the circumstances of life around that? For instance, if you got an inkling to sell your house, are you in a position to sell your house? Have the kids left home? Is the house pricing good? Are other places open up? Is a nice condo set up just ready for you to buy at the same time that you're ready to sell your house? Those circumstances are around you in life, which you have no control over, but they're all pointing you in the same direction, okay? So look at the circumstances around what you're hearing. The third one is Scripture. God never counters his word. Take some time and ask the Lord to give you some scriptures, or ask some friends to do it, and see what they are speaking to you. If anything counters the scripture, don't go there, because it's not from the Lord. Okay? So that's a thing to do. Is the Bible is powerful. It's like fire. And these words will pop out of you, and they'll become rhema words in your heart. As you're praying, you'll suddenly get this message. And I remember when I was, I think I told you I was praying, that I had the company called Safer, where we invented all these products for safe pest control. And another company began to be control our company. And I went to church one day, and the pastor said, I've got a word for you. The door he opens, no man can close, and the door he closes, no man can open. And I knew it's a scripture from Revelation, but I knew what it meant. It said God was going to close our involvement in this company and birth a new company for us. That word held true through thick and thin. But you see, I got the message from the scripture. And you will get a message from scripture. That's why Bible study and reading is so good. It's not boring. It's dynamic. It's powerful. You will get a message for you. If you seek God and ask for it, he will answer you. And so many times we've had messages come through scripture, but they may not be in the context of the scripture. But the scripture should always be in line with what you feel God is telling you, because God never counters his word. The fourth one is counsel, and that's the counsel of friend. Going to see the elders, the pastors, see your partner, your friend, your neighbor, or whatever, and ask them, you know, could you pray about this and see what you feel about it? And so get the counsel from friends. And then the fifth one is shalom, the peace of God. And that'll come. Now, not all five of them may always be there. You may have several of them. But look for three or at least two or three of them and wait. Because if you wait, you will find that they'll start falling into place, okay? So don't be impatient. You know, Jesus was never in a hurry. I remember Elaine saying to me, he walked everywhere. You know, it's great for us type A's. But wait on the Lord, see what he's saying, see what these things, and test his word to you. God wants you to test him. Amen? Find out if this is really from him, because we have an enemy who will only be too willing to give you false images in the night or the day and false messages. So be very careful that you put those guards up. Now, I just want to end with a little exercise. Maybe some of you have done it. This comes from a Bible teacher, Brad Jerzak. I don't know if any of you have known him. He's written a book on prayer. And I want us to all enter into this. So, and this is basically, I'm going to invite you to pray for Chris. And I'm just going to raise this up, and I'd like you to wait on the Lord and get something from God about Chris. It might be one word, it might be something. And, just, now, this is for all of us, not just for some in special offices, okay? So as you get something, just speak it out. And then I'm going to follow that to get you to pray for a person that you don't know, or at least that I'm not going to give you their name, and see what it gives. But I want you to see that you have this ability to receive something. So, Father, let's just pray now. So, Father, I pray now in the mighty name of Jesus, we lift up Brother Chris. And, Lord, we pray that you reveal to us through your Spirit something for Chris this morning. A word, a picture, something, Lord. Just we pray that you would bless us with that. This is good. Sometimes you don't know what the picture means. That's perfectly good, because the message is for the person you're praying for. So that's really a good, thank you for sharing that. And sometimes these words don't mean anything because they're really for the person. They're for the person you're praying for. They'll give that person a message, okay? So don't think it has to be understandable humanly. Bless you. You know, I think many of you have received things, but what we're doing here is we're waiting on the Lord to return back to us something for our prayers going up for Chris, and these are coming back to us in revelation for Chris. And this is the exciting part of receiving from God in return to our prayers. That's why having quiet time and some meditation time and just some time after the prayers to hear what the Lord is saying about. Now, I want to do one final one, and I'm going to ask you to pray for a person. I'm not going to tell you who the person is, so you can't sort of understand who that person is. But in the same way, I want you to receive something from the Lord about this person. You might want to write it down or keep note of it. And then I'll reveal to you after we've had that time who it is you're praying for, okay? So, Father, we know I'm going to lift up to you this person. And I'm doing this now, Lord. And I pray, Father, now in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would give each of us a revelation of something for this person that we're holding before your throne of grace for your blessing.
Water, a person actually in a canoe.
Now I'm going to reveal to you who that person was you were praying for. It was yourself. I'd ask the Lord to put each of you before His throne. And you see how exciting this is in prayer, that we can wait upon the Lord and we can get something back from the Lord. It's not like being on one end of a telephone line with no one at the other end. God yearns to speak with us. And He's going to speak to us in these different ways. Sometimes, as we heard amongst us today, it's a picture. Sometimes it's a word. It could be a scripture. But it's going to give a message to you personally as a direction that God is giving you. And you can ponder it. And you can take those pictures and those words and bring it back before Him to give more revelation on it. Always ask God for more, because He wants to speak to us. And it's exciting, eh, church? Prayer is not boring. It's dynamic and powerful. It really lubricates the church. That's how we grow as a fellowship. That's how the gospel spreads across the world. Because the Lord anoints His word. And each of us are anointed to not only speak to Him, but to receive from Him. And to have more awareness of what it is when He speaks. Most of the issue is not that He's not speaking, it's just that we're not aware and have the ears to hear. And when Jesus said that to the churches in Revelation, He didn't indicate that they didn't have the ability to hear Him. He was saying, "He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." And that's what the Lord wants us to do for the fellowship, for our society, for our culture, for Gabriola, and for our families. It's a wonderful thing to pray for our families and receive back and to share these pictures and things as you get them. And let the person test. And one caution, don't ever say, "This is what the Lord says for you." Because that gives the person no chance to discern. What's better to say is, "I believe this is what I hear the Lord saying for you." And that gives them the ability to determine whether it does witness to them or not. Because otherwise, we're decreeing that we're all Moses. But we have our humanity, and we may have it wrong. And I remember hearing a top man in the prophetic, Augustine, who birthed the Grace Ministries up in Kansas City. And this, he said, "Don't believe everything I say. Test it." The Holy Spirit's our teacher, amen? Test it. Test the word. Make sure. So I'm just going to close, and Elaine and I will be available if you want to come up for special anointing or something. But I'd really encourage you, practice. Get used to doing this, of waiting on the Lord and speaking to Him and waiting for His answer back. Because it's that part we tend to rush off and do something different. So we give our prayers, but we don't wait for the response. And if we do that to a loving dad, he said, "Well, you didn't stay very long." So, Father, thank You for Your blessing here today, and thank You for the richness of Your grace. Thank You for the wonderful privilege of being able to talk with You directly and having You talk back to us and give us Your guidance. Thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the anointing that You've given us here, Lord. And Father, we pray that You would quicken us to be more aware when You're speaking to us, to not shut it out by the busyness of life, to take time in a busy world to be quiet and to listen and to hear what the Spirit is saying to His church. In Jesus' name, amen.